So, Tam, we hadn't heard a lot from Bechtel about sustainability. Tell me a little bit about how that has risen to the top in the organization in the last year or so.
Sure. Bechtel has, frankly, always been doing sustainability. And it's always been at the top of mind of the leadership in the company. I think as a private company, it hasn't probably done a lot of external communications about it. It's in more sort of internal engagement, internal efficiencies, and a lot of internal work. But, you know, we looked at ourselves and we thought, you know, maybe it was the right time to start talking about a lot of the things that we're doing. We started this when I joined the company about 3 years ago with our first sustainability report. And it was a first effort to really collectively pull together definitions and themes and ideas and things that we've really been doing as a company and sharing it at least through a first report. And since then, we've tried to share more through some external platforms, such as we created a Build 100 platform, sort of a Build 100 blog, which we're sharing stories from different parts of the world, different ideas, different things we're doing. So again, it's nothing new.
So talk a little bit about what you are doing. What's the focus of sustainability at Bechtel these days?
So the focus largely is around four areas. The first is sort of, I would say, sort of the nuts and bolts of a lot of companies, you know, the way we go about protecting people and the environment. That's usually a lot of the safety work that we do and the efforts that we do to through our engineering, procurement, and construction, you know, to the extent we can to reduce energy, by extension, carbon, water, waste, and most importantly, you know, can we do these things using sustainability to reduce our costs, the costs related to the way we go about constructing or building, designing and building our projects. The other is going about how we engage with communities. Again, pretty standard with a lot of different companies. We work in a lot of remote places in the world. We also work in a lot of urban, densely populated place in the world. So we focus a lot on how we engage with the community to make sure that they understand the impacts and implications of our project and making sure that that they're engaged and they have good understanding and that they have an opportunity to, you know, air grievances or share ideas of how to improve the improve the impacts. A third area is promoting economic development, particularly local economic development. We, on a lot of our projects, many times we're first in a very remote area of the world, bringing in money and opportunities related to, for instance, construction, both in developing countries and developed ones. And the idea here is to make sure that there is an opportunity to create opportunities for small business, disadvantaged business, and that can be defined many ways depending where you operate in the world. So, for example, in Australia, it could be Aboriginal companies. In the United States, it could be women or minority-owned firms. So that includes both the creation of jobs, extending contracts or creating contracts, building vendor relationships, building up a local supply chain to support the project. And one of the most important things that we look at is what do we leave behind after we leave the project. So we do early on in the before our part of the project ends, we try to provide a lot of training to a lot of these businesses and workers to help them transition from sort of the heavy construction work and contracts to you know, a time period when the construction ends and there's going to be sort of a diversification of needs.
What's driving that? Is that about being socially responsible or is that a business imperative? Is that something that you see as an opportunity for Bechtel or some other business driver?
Well, if you're referring to the economic development piece, it's absolutely a business driver. The most efficient way and sometimes the most and usually the most cost-effective way to construct these projects, to build these projects, is to build, you know, to work with local workers and build local relationships with businesses. It's, you know, just economically, it's a lot more expensive to bring in either foreign workers or others into these sites. You know, it's just expensive to bring them in, and also not the most efficient way to be cost effective. So it's definitely a business imperative. Of course, it has extensions and linkages with corporate responsibility, but I would say it's not necessarily a corporate responsibility. It's really a business imperative to, you know, build up the sort of local workforce and the local supply chain. And, you know, for Bechtel, sometimes we're going to come back, and there are instances where we come back into the region or come back into the local area. So it's nice to be able to tap into the workers and suppliers that we've helped build up and train, because they're just much more aligned to our business processes of quality, safety, efficiency, sustainability. The last area is pioneering through innovation. And you know, there's a lot of, it's nothing necessarily new. I mean, you see a lot of articles, et cetera, out there that really talks about sustainability as one of the biggest drivers of innovation in a company. And the reason for that is that, you know, innovation is a way for companies to really think deeply and innovatively about how can they reduce their costs using sustainability, whether, and for us, it has largely to do with, you know, how do we use new enhanced processes or technologies, or, you know, pulling together different teams with different attributes inside the company to work together to reduce the way we generate waste, to reduce how much water we use, to reduce the amount of energy we use. So some of it's technology, some of it's, you know, improving our processes, but it's all under the rubric of just being innovative using sustainability.
Well, speaking of being innovative using sustainability, you're launching a partnership later this spring with Conservation International called Green Gray around green infrastructure. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we're in the midst of working closely with Conservation International. I wouldn't say it's a formal partnership yet, but we've been in extensive engagements with them to launch a Green Gray initiative in the Philippines. And in all fairness, the Green Gray idea is really Conservation International, and we found it a very unique relationship to look at. The green really refers to natural defenses, such as mangroves and other sort of natural habitat defenses against natural hazards, such as typhoons and natural disasters, cyclones, and things like that. So it's a blending of you know, these natural defenses with the hard defenses, which is like dikes and other sort of hard structures. And the reason they looked at this approach, because it was a more sustainable approach to manage storm surges, typhoons, and other sort of natural hazards that many countries, particularly in the Philippines, face. And what makes it sustainable is that by using some of the natural defenses, it helps sort of mitigate the disruption to a lot of the ecosystems, such as fisheries or reefs and things that are necessary for or vital for the communities that live along the coastline for fishing, food security, and other things. So again, it was a unique relationship between Conservation International, which what I would say was a really good scientist and understanding of communities and natural habitats. And with us, you know, we're more the engineers, we're project delivery partners. So just from at different levels, we find it an interesting relationship, and we plan to work together to pilot this Green Gray initiative in the Philippines in 2017.
Well, this is certainly a different way that you and other infrastructure companies have operated. Is this something that you see as where the world needs to go, and you're sort of piloting this, or is this just an experiment? How do you view this in the scope of Bechtel's larger work?
Well, our engineers have always looked at the entire sort of ecosystem, you know, when we design things. I mean, because we design and build things all around the world. And so we've always looked at this. So I don't think it's unique in a sense to just Conservation International. I think a lot of us think about this, but I think what's unique is that we're really trying to pilot this in an area that's prone to a lot of natural disasters, and you see a lot of data that talks about the frequency and intensity of these natural disasters or natural hazards in countries like the Philippines. And I think it's unique in the sense, again, where our engineers and construction teams are looking or engaging with sort of that sort of scientific community to see, you know, how can this work? And I think there's a lot of interest in the replication of this. There is a, you know, that the project, for example, in the Philippines is being funded by, you know, some aid programs, foreign aid programs, and they're actually looking at the demonstration value of this project in other parts of the world. So it's almost, I would say, kind of a incubator project to see how can this actually work. And we are starting it with our volunteers, so our Bechtel volunteers, who have a tradition of volunteering, a much smaller scale projects, you know, not the big, mega, multi-billion-dollar projects that Bechtel engages in, but these sort of smaller scale projects at a community level. So we're using a lot of our volunteers to work with Conservation International to see how we can do this together.
Well, it sounds like a really interesting project, and we'll look forward to talking more about it and tracking its progress. But for now, Tam Nguyen, Global Head of Sustainability at Bechtel Corporation, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Joel.